Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Monday, September 26th, is the feast of Saints Cosmas and Damian, martyrs. And these are today's headlines. A center-right coalition is claiming victory in Italian elections amidst low voter turnout. Protests continue in Iran after a woman died in police custody. And Pope Francis encourages young members of the Shalom Catholic community to continue to be creative. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, Giorgia Meloni is poised to become Italy's first ever female prime minister at the head of its most right-wing government since World War II, after a victory in Sunday's general election. Provisional results show Meloni's Fratelli d'Italia party, which is allied with two other right-wing parties, should have a solid majority in both houses of parliament. Susie Hodges has this report.
Giorgia Meloni's Brothers of Italy party emerged as the biggest single victor in Sunday's general elections, winning over 26% of the vote. It was a dramatic rise from the previous 4% of the vote her party won in the last elections. Meloni's coalition partners Matteo Salvini's Lega Party and Silvio Berlusconi's Forza Italia did not fare so well. The Lega only took about 9% of the vote, down from more than 17% 4 years ago, while Berlusconi's party scored 8%. Turnout for the election showed that less than two-thirds of Italians cast their ballots, a record low in a nation that historically had high voter participation. During the campaign, Meloni played down her party's post-fascist roots, and in her victory speech on Monday, she pledged she would govern for everyone and would not betray the people's trust. Meloni's party and the Lega both strongly oppose irregular immigration, and Meloni has called for a naval blockade of Libya to stop migrant boats from arriving in Italy. But there are other issues on which Meloni and her two allies don't see eye to eye, and this could cause tensions once they're in government. Whilst Meloni backs Western sanctions against Russia for its invasion of Ukraine, both Salvini and Berlusconi have often expressed their admiration for Russian President Vladimir Putin. The coalition partners also have differing views on how to deal with Italy's soaring energy costs, and this will be the most urgent issue to tackle in the new government's in-tray. For Vatican Radio, this is Susie Hodges reporting.
In other world news, demonstrations are continuing in Iran over the death of a young Iranian woman while in police custody. Mahsa Amini died after being arrested by Iran's so-called morality police for allegedly wearing a hijab head covering improperly. Nathan Morley has the latest.
The protests, which first erupted on September the 16th after the death of a 22-year-old Kurdish woman in police detention, show no signs of abating. Demonstrations have spread across at least 45 cities, towns and villages in Iran. State television has suggested at least 41 protesters and police have been killed since the unrest began. It's now reported that as many as 1,200 demonstrators have been arrested. In the latest announcement, authorities have said they will limit internet access in the country until calm has been restored. The instability comes as anti-government protests spilled online, with videos of women burning their hijabs being shared globally. The anger centres on the fate of Mahsa Amini. She was arrested last week for supposedly wearing a hijab headscarf in an improper fashion. Campaigners say she suffered a deadly blow to the head, a claim denied by officials who have launched an inquiry. Police continue to argue that she died from natural causes, but her family believe she was exposed to beating and torture. Her death and arrest came amid a government clampdown on women's rights. Last month, Iran's hardline president signed a ruling which expanded penalties for women posting anti-hijab content on the internet. The unrest in Iran has spilled over internationally as well. Over the weekend, police clashed with demonstrators trying to reach the Iranian embassies in London and Paris. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Here in Rome, several embassies to the Holy See have teamed up to host a two-day workshop at the Vatican focused on ways to help integrate refugees into local communities. The Canadian Embassy put the event together with the International Catholic Migration Commission to showcase a program in Canada that turns communities into welcoming places for people who have fled war and conflict. Devin Watkins tells us more.
The Canadian Embassy to the Holy See joined forces with the International Catholic Migration Commission, along with the embassies of Britain, the United States, Germany, and Italy, to host a workshop on welcoming refugees. The two-day event kicks off in the Vatican on Monday and explores the results of a program created by the Canadian government to assist local communities in hosting people who have fled conflict and other challenges. Over 300,000 refugees have been helped through the program in their integration into local communities in various parts of Canada since its inception in 1979. According to Ms. Angel Tissot of the Canadian Ministry of Integration, Refugees and Citizenship, the event hopes to boost similar initiatives in other countries, while strengthening host communities so that they may become more welcoming places for refugees to live. At a press briefing ahead of the event, she noted that awareness of the need to integrate refugees into local communities came after the mass exodus of the Vietnamese boat people, a migration phenomenon that reached its peak in the late 1970s following the Vietnam War. More recently, the wars in Afghanistan and Ukraine have pushed the issue of refugee settlement up the political laundry list in recent years. Monsignor Bob Vitello, Secretary General of the International Catholic Migration Commission, held up the Canadian program as a potential model for European Union states as they seek long-term solutions to integrate refugees. The American-born priest said similar programs could be implemented even in other parts of the world besides Western countries. Canada's initiative mainly focuses on larger cities, but in Europe it is most often rural areas that have proven most willing to welcome refugees, especially given the demographic decline of small towns. Referencing Pope Francis, Monsignor Vitello said that integration of refugees is a two-way street, since those who welcome and those who are received both offer mutual, cultural, and economic enrichment. I'm Devin Watkins.
And at the same time, there's been a International Conference on Refugee and Migrant Education, sponsored by the Pontifical Gregorian University. Cardinal Michael Czerny emphasized the importance of working together to provide educational opportunities for migrants and refugees during that event, which begins today. He said, governments, practitioners, communities, and the church have complementary responsibilities to provide access to meaningful educational opportunities for refugees and migrants, working hand in hand with a clear mission and generosity of spirit in order to offer those who have been uprooted from their homes the opportunity of quality education to become men and women for others, siblings all, carers of our common home. On Monday, Pope Francis met with young people of the Shalom Catholic community as they meet in Rome for the 40th anniversary of its foundation. The ecclesial movement was founded in Brazil to encourage young people to evangelize their peers and society and to be builders of peace, following the example set by Jesus. Having developed in different countries around the world in 2007, the community was recognized by the Pontifical Council for the Laity. Addressing some 1,000 pilgrims, Pope Francis encouraged them to keep their missionary charism alive, following in the footsteps of St. Francis of Assisi and other young saints. Lisa Zangarini has this report.
Being creative, welcoming, and docile to the Holy Spirit in their missionary drive, Pope Francis gave this challenging mandate to the young people of the Shalom movement when receiving them on Monday as they celebrate their 40th anniversary. Its members have the tradition to go on pilgrimage to Rome every 5 years to renew their life offering before the Holy Father. Pope Francis thanked the two founders for their introductory remarks and in particular for remembering the circumstances in which the Shalom Catholic movement was born, that is, during a Eucharistic celebration in Fortaleza. This, he said, reminds us that it is the Holy Spirit that makes a church live, that pushes it forward. Answering to the questions by 5 youths from different countries, Pope Francis focused on the need to abide in Jesus and his love, to inspire with the gospel message other people in our environments. He also emphasized the role of young people in the church, saying once again that they need to be listened to. He cited as examples of youth protagonism and holiness St. Francis and St. Clare of Assisi, among others. Answering the question about friendship with the poor, Pope Francis called attention to the extraordinary example of St. Therese of Calcutta. The Pope further encouraged participants to keep alive the missionary enthusiasm which over the years has given life to an ecclesial reality that now includes not only young people, but also families, celibates committed to the mission, and priests. Concluding, the Pope urged participants to remain docile to the action of the Spirit, open to mutual listening and to the guidelines of the Church, in order to best discern how to continue their journey. I am Lisa Zengarini.
Also in the Vatican on Monday, Pope Francis invited Capuchin Tertiary Sisters of the Holy Family to learn from the Holy Family, to embrace littleness, and to have a massive impact by listening silently to God's voice. He also urged them to maintain a strong personal prayer life and to live out synodality together. Deborah Castellano-Lubov has this report.
Pope Francis has called on religious sisters to be powerful prophets of humble listening so that by listening to God's voice in silence, they might be empowered to go against the current and noise to bring God's love to all without distinction. The Pope gave this encouragement as he addressed members of the Capuchin Tertiary Sisters of the Holy Family on Monday in the Vatican. The congregation, founded in Spain in 1885 as a small family of sisters, is now present in 34 countries located on four continents, full of young women worldwide, joyful for their call and happy to be consecrated to the service of others. Pope Francis told the nuns on Monday morning that it was a joy for him to welcome them, especially as they celebrate their 23rd general chapter. Acknowledging the religious sisters came from different corners of the world, the Pope said this is beautiful because it indicates that you really live in a spirit of welcome and universal fraternity in accordance with their special relationship with the Holy Family. He said that this attitude, typical of a family environment, is expressed in the motto of the General Chapter, which revolves around two ideas, namely humble listening and synodality, both of which, he said, are inspiring and have deep roots in religious life. Listening, he pointed out, requires a deep inner silence. The prophecy that Jesus asks of us, he said, is precisely to go against this current, to seek silence, to separate ourselves from the world and from the noise. The Pope then offered the nuns guidance on how to do this. Since everyone is different, the Pope suggested, it is a bit difficult to achieve harmony, and often it is not a utopia. Regardless, he acknowledged, it all comes together properly when everyone acknowledges that Jesus leads their paths. He also urged them to continue embracing the style of littleness and mortification as the way to heaven. He encouraged the sisters in their specific vocation as religious to continue to learn from the Holy Family. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories from the Vatican and around the world, we do invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va and to follow our Facebook page and Twitter feed. Many thanks go to our sound engineers in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.